No.
Hold on, I'm messing with the levels here. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Something's being recorded.
Okay.
I have the old school setup again, so, you know.
Okay, so I don't have mine set up yet, so I won't bother with that.
Hey, fuck it. It's not professional. You know, what can you do?
Yeah, right.
Speaking of not professional. Like, what direction would you like to go with that?
Well, I don't know. Let's just do it.
Well, let's talk about hand jobs. You want to talk about above the pants?
Lauren Bogart.
Above the pants hand jobs. You want to talk about?
She's just the gift that keeps on giving.
It can't be real.
I know, right?
It can't be real. It can't be real. It can't be real.
It is, though.
So, you know, obviously, almost every accusation is a confession, right?
What do you mean?
I'm saying, generally speaking, if you're accused of an accusation against somebody else, is usually a confession on yourself. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying people tend to do that. Republicans in general tend to do that. If they accuse you of something, they're guilty of it.
Well,
and that just goes without saying.
In this case, in so many cases, we've got the video.
Yeah, it's a video.
Did you happen to see any of Trump on Meet the Press?
I caught a little snippet of it, but he went off the rails, right? Too.
But it's got to be enough to make Jack Smith really happy.
You know, do you really think, I mean, I've asked you this many times, but, you know, do you think he goes to jail ultimately?
Yeah. I kind of do at this point.
Yeah. It seems like it's a little too far, right? A little too far, right?
Yeah, but then what happens?
Well, you have to put him at a military base. That's the deal there. You can't have him in a regular prison.
Guantanamo!
Somewhere, you know, Fort Benning. It doesn't matter. He'll be in an airplane hangar. You remember from Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, right.
Where they were transferring him and they had him in the, you know, it's like that.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, people are, especially on the right, are saying that there'll be a civil war if they try to put him in jail.
I believe it. I mean, January 6th was a test run. I mean, if we're being honest. This is why I hate people so much. Like, in, you know, generally speaking.
Hate who?
People.
Oh. In general.
You know, do you really want the government overthrown? That's what you want? Really? You don't want to have elections anymore? We'll just...
You know, I don't think that's where they go. I think they think that they're the holders of liberty and the holders of the Constitution, and liberals are the ones that want to tear everything down and make it gay and groomed, and that they don't deserve to live, and they don't believe in God, and we hate them, and we got to get, you know, I think that's why they love Trump, because it owns liberals.
I feel owned. You know, and nothing is nothing says you're against grooming than more than you know, giving a hand job at a theater in front of kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you want to get right down to it. Very embarrassing, though, ultimately, you know, for the country, and not just Boebert, not just Green, you know, not just Trump. It's really the supporters of there's the, you know, how do you walk around knowing that, you know, the country's filled with people like this? That's a question.
Did you see the, the steps that Boebert's gone through? As first, the story broke, and she's vaping, and that was kind of the big deal. It's like they didn't have that video yet that showed the groping.
Right.
And so they tried to say, well, that the smoke was in the theater from the performance.
I see.
That was the first. And then, you know, then the more detailed video came out. Her blowing smoke out and the you know, pregnant woman behind her trying to, hey, you just, you know, cut that out. I'm pregnant. And she apparently did that 3 or 4 times. And
so was it cannabis vape, you think?
Well, that's kind of the presumption, although I guess we don't know that.
Well, tobacco vape exists as a product.
Exists. So that could be real.
Right.
A lot of people are just presuming that it's marijuana, and it's probably true, but unproven.
Personally, I don't give a shit, but you know, just shut the fuck up.
Well, she's so famously on about her guns.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, stop being acting like you're some kind of moral barometer for something. If you're smoking weed in a fucking theater with kids in there,
mm-hmm.
and giving a hand job to your boy. And incidentally, the guy that got the handy, he owns a bar where they do drag shows. Did you know that? That's another part of this.
Oh, it gets better and better.
It gets every layer of it. It's you know, 1,000 layers of joy. But here we are. You know, Trump has 91 indictments now, right? 91 charges, you know, four different indictments.
Right.
And, you know, his polling numbers continue to rise.
Haven't they plateaued out about now, though?
The problem is somebody else is plateauing, too, at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are polls, though.
Sure. You can't trust polls.
You really can't. And the last several political cycles have proven that.
But when gas gets $6 a gallon, you think that's going to be a tough...
You
know,
yeah.
For better or worse, Americans, you know, wrong, right or wrong, they tend to attach that to the sitting president.
Yeah. That's for sure.
And it looks like we're going to get another, you know, we're going to get another bump up here coming up. They're talking about $6 a gallon.
And food.
So the question is, with everybody hurting, look, when people are hurting economically, they blame the incumbent. So are all bets off because it's Trump? It's not going to work out that way because there's the overriding factor of, you know, fascism? Or are we going to slip back into what we normally do?
Well, I'm just going to say he doesn't have a chance. There isn't any way.
I'm starting to think Biden doesn't either.
Huh?
I'm starting to think Biden... Are you making coffee? What are you doing?
I am. I hand-ground French press.
All right, I'm going to try to make some coffee too then. I don't know how long my cord is here. Is this from yesterday? Least professional show on radio, ladies and gentlemen. definitely. And
we're,
you know,
just a couple of guys yammering about current events.
Look, we're trying to make it. You know, we're just a couple of island boys. Oh, have I given you, are you familiar, are you up to speed on the island boys at this point? Or?
What's this island boys thing?
Okay, so you familiar with the island boys? At all?
I don't think so.
Oh, geez. Well, they look like sea monkeys. There are a couple guys that look like sea monkeys. Actually, they look like sea monkeys if you, you know, grew them in a thing of Red Bull. If you grew them in Red Bull, maybe.
You mean, you're talking about brine shrimp.
Brine shrimp, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay.
yeah, if you do brine shrimp in Red Bull, you end up with these two yahoos.
I like it.
So, you know, they came out with their song Island Boy, which I sang at the beginning. You know, I'm an island boy just trying to make it. That's the song.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so that's what that.
So that ran its course. Well, these are TikTok personalities. So that ran its course. They tried to perform it live. It didn't really work out. They were booed off stage. You know, they kind of ran out of material. So they started an OnlyFans. They're twin brothers. They're twin brothers who have an OnlyFans account. Yes, they are having sex with each other.
Island boys.
Brothers. Twin brothers. Sex acts, OnlyFans, twin brothers. Island boys.
Where does this come from?
Well, it comes from being popular on social media and then losing that popularity and then scrambling to try to figure out how you could debase yourself enough to get the fans back. That's the deal. And I think people are going to end up studying this whole thing, like probably in psychology, college level psychology courses, I'm thinking. You know, this is a real sickness here with the social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free from it because I'm not popular. You know what I mean? So I am not burdened by that.
Well, I don't think I am either.
But imagine if you were super, super popular and then lost it. Would you end up having sex with your twin brother and charging people to watch it? I'm asking you. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the answer's no. But...
Yeah. I mean, I've never been attracted to sibling sex. I don't have any brothers, though. So
so we really don't know then. If you want to get right
we just don't know. Yeah.
Untestable. Okay, I'm jealous of the Island Boys. What do you want me to say? Like, I wish I had some social media following or something. Anything, really.
Island Boys.
They're just trying to make it.
Well, aren't we all, though?
Not
although
me.
I don't know that I, you know, I... Well, I sort of, I don't think I ever was trying to make it, honestly. And well, that's why maybe I didn't make it, but.
You know who made it? Our friend Ben Johnson.
That's true.
He's living the life.
Yeah, yeah. He's.
Pub owner.
Right, and three books now.
Published books, musician, band. That deal.
Monique, Hazel.
Gorgeous wife. Wonderful daughter. Wonderful daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he should be on OnlyFans. I don't know. just, you know.
This Bulbert thing, it's amazing. I think she's damaged herself finally. I mean, because her first response was describing maybe overtly animated. I was really enjoying the show.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was laughing. I was singing, having a fantastic time. Was told to kind of settle down a little bit, which I did.
Can we do something about the resolution on these security cameras?
All right.
At this point, I mean, really, must we be robbed of everything?
Well, it's a dark theater. It looked like it was, whatever that film is that they film in the dark with.
Yeah, but, you know, they show me the Horsehead Nebula, a picture of it. It's 90 trillion light years away. And here's a full color photograph of it. I could read the serial number and everything. You know, and then yeah, and then it shows a guy robbing a bank, and you can't. It looks like a animorph. You can't even see what's going on. Is it a human? Is that a potato?
Well, criminals and Boebert don't emit their own light. The Horsehead Nebula does.
I can't believe it's the elections next year, and we're not rid of Trump yet. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you don't feel nervous about this whole situation.
I can't tell you that I don't feel nervous about this whole situation.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there's any chance that he can pull.
But it's worse, though, isn't it? If he loses again, we're going to have a full-on riotous situation.
Well, he's going to lose, and he's going to be convicted. So, so there you go.
My life fell apart the moment he lost the election. The last election? Like, no, I'm saying on a personal level, my life fell apart, unrelated to it.
Well, that's when COVID happened.
COVID, the whole thing. You know what I mean? It was a double whammy. I lost everything, you know?
Right, right.
So it's like I just want to be rid of Trump. I just want to move on from the situation. And I feel like, you know, at a minimum, we're looking into 2025, basically, to be done with this, right?
You know, quite honestly, I don't know. I can't figure people out. I think there's a lot of people that want to own liberals so bad, they'll tear down the country.
Right.
I think there's a lot of Trump supporters that think they're not tearing down the country by, you know, supporting him. He's against the billionaire. You know, I just can't figure that out. But he is a billionaire, and he's an idiot, and he's run by, you know, the total right-wing fascists. I mean, from the top to the bottom, which is kind of an interesting thing. The you know, the militias and the Proud Boys, street level fascists. What are they going to do? They seem like they're still ready to fight.
It looks like they're ready to elect new leaders.
Yeah, yeah. And then the billionaire fascists at the head of companies. People like Robert Mercer, who, you know, got him going in the first place. I think that's the part that's pulling away from him. They don't see that as a way forward now. So I think that's one of the reasons that he's not going to make it. However, tell the Republicans in Congress that they're fully on board.
Well, they're cowards. You know,
they're straight up cowards.
Yeah.
Would you see Romney in his book? He's saying that most of the other Republicans in Congress feel about Trump the way he does, but their base loves him, so they love him. And Romney thinks he's, totally unfit for office.
You know, to be on the wrong side of every single issue. You know, every issue on the wrong side of it, squarely on the wrong side of it. You know, I think you're onto something with this owning the libs thing.
Yeah, I just don't care about anything else.
They know their base will sign off on anything as long as it's owning libs.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that they're on the wrong side of every single issue. It's crazy that you could campaign on inflation, and then when you're given an opportunity to pass legislation to get price gouging at the pump, you vote against it as a group.
Well, yeah.
And they know that their base doesn't give a shit. It doesn't matter if they screw over their own base. It doesn't matter. As long as libs are getting owned.
That's totally it. I mean, I think there's I think there's a range, but I kind of wonder how large this lib owning portion of the Republican Party is. It seems like it's large.
I think we're
a significant percentage.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, libs are assholes. So that's what happened with this. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Elitist. You know.
And they have the facts, and so they seem condescending.
Well, look, libs are insufferable, but put them on the right side of a moral issue, and you've created a.
Exactly.
Everybody's Harvey Milk, you know? And it's like, I'm saying it, it's coming out of my mouth, it's true. And at the same time, it's like, what are you supposed to do? Vote against? Now I'm supposed to vote against my own self-interest to try to make some political point? What are we doing here? Like, it's a real society that we're forced to live in, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, shouldn't that be the overriding thing? Like, how, you know, that feels like socialism then. I don't know. What are we doing? What are we doing here as an American experiment? Like, what is the plan here? Are we going to become Nazis again? Is that the deal?
I'm pretty sure not. But this might take some time to get through. Although I hope not. I hope I'm seeing signs that, well, one is the disarray in the Republican Party right now.
Well, everyone's hedging their bet, but they can't hedge it publicly. Because they got it just in case he wins, right? I mean, that's where we're at right now. It's like Mussolini's running for office. You know he's going to destroy the entire country as soon as he gets power, but you can't speak out against him because he might win.
Well, I mean, that's where the right is.
And anything the left says, and I say we, anything the left says... you know, it's just part of the witch hunt, right?
Well, that's for sure.
So we have an information stalemate happening now. Nobody can learn anything. Now everybody has belief and they can't learn. So how the fuck do we get out of this?
I don't think we know. We just do. Time.
What'd you think of the Republican debate? What'd you think of the other candidates? Did anybody stand out to you?
Oh, well, that was interesting.
What about this Indian guy?
Ramaswamy's articulate idiocy. I mean, everything he said was so demonstrably false. But
he's got a good cadence.
He just... Yeah, but he sounded smart.
Yeah, no,
he
sounds,
probably is smart.
I'm sure he is. He sounds like a politician.
But he's just wrong.
Yeah, I think people
and
are thirsty.
And I'm not sure that he even knows that he's wrong.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares, but I think he's kind of dumb that way.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I'm pro-minority when it comes to politics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like on some level,
I've always been that way. But
I mean, I supported Clarence Thomas on some level that appointment. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
get out of here.
Yeah, I'm being honest. I mean, I didn't think he was the right person, but it was nice to have an African American on the court. In my mind, it was worth it, even if he wasn't the
he
right...
was replacing one.
Well, one for
he
one's
was replacing
fine.
One.
One for one is fine. I felt like that overrided the whole thing. I think we're
still
at
that. I was watching the confirmation hearings pretty closely and the whole Anita Hill thing. And by that point, he seemed wholly unqualified.
Sure.
He he'd only been a judge for a year, but he was black and he was conservative and they wanted him. And he probably wouldn't have been confirmed without a deal that the head of judicial committee in the Senate did that said, okay, let's go ahead and have a vote. Well, that was Biden.
Okay.
So without Biden, without Senator Biden, I'm not sure you get Clarence Thomas. But you will. So you know the Anita Hill thing. How.
And he's been and a disaster. Thomas has been a disaster.
It's kind of funny. He kind of didn't say much for
30 years.
Yeah. Until the other three conservatives got on, and then it was release the Kraken.
You know, there's a part of me that's like, look, we had hundreds of years of the country where our leaders were chosen simply based on who they knew. No meritocracy, no nothing, you know, very little checks and balances, trading seats, you know, this went on forever, you know, and now we get minorities coming into office and now we want to scrutinize them, right? That was my opinion during the Thomas thing, was like, nobody gave a shit about any of these hearings ever, except now we do because it's an African-American guy. That's what was in my mind. Like, and like the Swami guy, you know what I mean? The Indian guy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, should it matter if a politician is any good anymore? Should it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, obviously, because that, you know, the kinds of laws that will get passed are based on, you know, people being at least informed and intelligent about what we need to do. About so many things.
We got to have term limits in Congress.
You think?
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm almost thinking it should be a one and done. You know?
I'm not for term limits particularly in Congress. Because one, it throws the good out with the bad. And two, it takes a term or two just to get your, you know, feet wet. To learn how it works.
And your pockets lined.
In some cases, but not in all cases. Although I think there was, all right, we've got a new dynamic ever since Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was the first politician that I thought really had the interests of the people at heart more than any other single, motivation. He was totally about, because he'd been that for 40 years and he never changed his message and still hasn't.
Oh yeah, you can go back in time. Any social problem that exists today, you can go back and find footage of Bernie Sanders trying to stop it from happening.
Yeah, getting arrested sometimes for doing it.
Right.
So, and now there's several people I think that have come on, AOC notably, that are in the same place. So we've got a section of Congress that just didn't exist 10 years ago.
What about age limits?
That's a more interesting question, particularly since, Dianne Feinstein, more even than Biden. Biden seems fine to me. He's old, yeah. He's and old people fall a little more and seem a little more unsteady, but their mind, I don't think that's a problem. I think their minds are fine. So I don't think I want a 90-year-old president.
Right. So there is some limit.
Right. So there is some limit.
Not an official limit, but there is somewhere where you're like, and you feel like 90?
So 90? I think the term limit that I'm after is terms, elections.
What a mess. This is a real mess here we got.
So back to your question about the debates. Nikki Haley sounded the most rational and the smartest. However, she's straight up conservative, so her policies would be really horrible in nearly every case. But at least she's, when she leaned into Ramaswamy, And when he was talking about getting out of Ukraine and several other things that she just lambasted him for and did it really smartly. I would hate for her to be the eventual Republican nominee. Then I think Biden would be in trouble.
See, that's a tough thing because, my inclination would be to vote for it because it's a woman. You know what I mean?
Right?
I think certain things override party. And I think race and gender, in this case, override it on some level because we haven't broken those barriers yet.
Well, for me, policy is the top of the deal, but I don't think that's what it is for most Americans. They don't even know policy.
Or care.
For some reason, care. Yeah.
I mean, if people putting the Thanks Brandon sticker on the gas pump, in protest.
Wasn't that Go Brandon? Go Brandon?
Go Brandon.
Yeah. Sure,
On the
sure.
gas pump, and meanwhile, all the Republicans voted against the legislation to stop the gouging, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
there's a fundamental disconnect between. I mean, how can you make a political argument knowing that the base doesn't care, ultimately? They don't care.
Well, that they don't care about that.
I'm saying they don't care about facts. They don't care about something being true or not. It's just
Right.
narrative. That's it. That's how Republicans are in general, I think. They don't care about the truth.
But in 2023 here, the Republican Party is less of a monolith than it was in 2016, and even less than it was in 2020.
Because it's not cool. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, there's two.
Ann Coulter called Lauren Boebert a totally embarrassing bimbo.
Wow. Ann Coulter, the voice of reason.
Yes, right. So Lauren Boebert had to issue a second apology, where she says she knows that I've lost your trust, and I'm going to work hard to get it back, and I will. She talked about her public and difficult divorce, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So her second apology shows that she was damaged politically by this. I think this thing kind of dooms her next election.
I mean, she barely won anyway.
She barely won.
I think people in Colorado are generally embarrassed about her.
Yeah.
Isn't where's
I get
Marjorie
that
Taylor
impression.
Greene from?
A rural county in upstate or Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, she's another weird one that, I mean, she's kind of left the a Freedom Caucus, as so-called, to cast her lot with McCarthy.
She showed Hunter Biden's penis during a legislative session, a picture of it. Are you,
Well,
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
am I losing my mind?
Well, I mean, but the thing of it is, you've got this laptop and you're looking for collusion between the president and Hunter's business dealings, and you're showing dick pics.
Right.
Is that all you got? Bring it.
Is that all he's got? Had to throw it out there. Got to keep it crass a little bit.
I hope
Go ahead.
we're watching the implosion of the Republican Party.
It's a much
It looks
slower
like we are.
explosion than I thought it was going to be. Like it's drawn out a little more,
Right.
I figured after January 6th, in my mind, when I was watching January 6th live happening, the riot, I said to myself, I might have even texted you, you know, this is it. This is the end. This is the end. This is so embarrassing and so anti-American that all moderates will move away from the Republican Party.
And then it was, hey, we didn't do it. It was Antifa.
It was Antifa.
That was the first day. Only, like, by day three, that argument didn't really hold water anymore.
Well, one of their basic arguments is that Biden is senile, doddering, asleep at the wheel, doesn't know where he is, can't walk, can't ride a bike, you know, is one foot and part of the other heel in the grave. That's all one part of their argument. And then the other part is that Biden is actually a arch criminal, international mastermind, godfather, head of this very intricate multinational criminal syndicate. So he's Schrodinger's despot.
Stay in your lane. Choose a lane and stay in it.
Just choose a lane. Just decide. You know, we can argue either one, right?
And this is a guy who's really had one of the most successful presidencies in a divided government, and has done some really great things. The infrastructure bill, there should have been no reason to expect that would have gotten passed, and it got passed.
And by all accounts, and it was working as well.
Working, and it's based on his experience as a politician in the Senate, as a horse trader, in the, you know, and it worked.
He's a career politician.
And one of the most able politicians in going.
Can cross the aisle if it needs to happen, can cross the aisle, no problem.
Knows how to work with the opposition.
And so, he also has Alzheimer's and is a mastermind. Criminal mastermind. Yeah, he's had a whole career. I mean, if you want to get down to it, his whole career has been that 30, 40 years in office now.
Yeah,
You know, his whole career has been, you know, working as a politician, crossing the aisle, negotiating.
That's exactly right. So,
but you know, and there were Republicans he worked with too. You know, Republicans weren't always hardliners either. They were willing to cross the aisle.
They were until the Tea Party happened.
Until the Tea Party happened.
And so that folded, though. The Tea Party is not the Freedom Caucus.
Is this all Al Gore's fault?
For not insisting on his having won the election? Because he probably did. He probably won Florida.
Yeah, he probably did, and he probably shouldn't have said anything at all.
He was the one that took the suit to the Supreme Court, though.
But the political divide that was created by that event, no liberal person or Democrat or progressive ever viewed Bush as a legitimate president. They always thought that he stole the election. So this feeling of the guy sitting in power stole the election, that was started then as an idea in the country. We never had that as a groupthink before, right?
You know, that's true. It's funny. Republicans do adopt the complaints of previous complaints of Democrats.
It worked. As political theater, it worked. It got people, all of a sudden, people gave a shit. Because people, it had been many decades before people had given a shit, really.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, people...
Well, because there was really no reason. There wasn't much difference between the two parties. They were both corporate, basically.
Right.
And whatever corporate America, you know, needs, that's what Democrats and Republicans are going to give them. The Democrats would give the people a few more crumbs off their table, but that was about it. So there wasn't much difference. When they got Reagan in, Reagan did more to destroy the middle class than any president ever.
Sure.
And so that began to be, oh, Republicans are worse, you know, kind of thing.
Well, the parties might have, you know, there might have been, let's say that's where the road forked and they, mm-hmm. they separated it by a little more, let's say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
all of these mechanisms now that are biting us on the ass, like, you know, he's not a legitimate president or, you know, all or being nasty to each other. We started that, too. If you remember when Obama got elected. You know, they went right. after, they went after Obama and we went after their intelligence.
That's so true. And so and we, and they felt insulted.
They were insulted. We were insulting. I was insulting. I mean, you know, I can only speak for myself, but the political climate at the time was you shout someone down and call him an idiot. That's what was happening. So all of
for
these
sure,
negative things.
And I think to be fair, we really felt like that. We were telling the truth. That was our honest feeling.
I don't think it matters that MAGAs don't really believe what they're saying. They're still saying it, and it's still happening. So
yeah, because it owns liberals. That's their purpose, not to tell the truth, but to own liberals.
I don't think what we did is more noble because we were on the right side of, look what we caused this. We caused this. And you can go to the Tea
Party. I'm not going to say it was a noble issue. It just wasn't a smart issue.
What I'm saying is we fucked up.
It wasn't politically smart.
We fucked up. And when Gore said the election was stolen, you know, as a country, we should have sat on our hands and just said, you know what? You know, maybe it was, and maybe we need to look at elections and figure out how to, you know, insulate this. Shouldn't have challenged it in that way. The institution, once you crumble the institution, it ceases to exist as an institution, yes? So you can't destroy it every single time there's a problem. You gotta, it has to be a, you know, what would Walt Whitman say? I mean, look, it has to be a slow process, a grind. It's a grind, right?
And it always was.
It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, that's the way it's designed to operate that way.
It can only
compromise.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it did.
It did, right up until the point where we said everything's bogus and convinced everybody. What we convinced the whole world of at that moment is that American elections can be stolen. That was the main thing. That had never been an issue before. All of a sudden, that puts us on par with every banana republic on the planet.
Okay,
right?
So faith and trust in America has been damaged over these, you know, Reagan going forward. However, the dollar is the strongest currency in the world. Inflation is lower than it is in most of the rest of the world.
And we're 19th in child mortality.
Well, there's that. We've got...
we have the 24th freest press in the world.
Yeah, those things. However, this general view of America is, well, not only its general view, when you hold us up against, you know, the experience of other countries, I guess Sweden notwithstanding, and, you know, a couple of countries in Europe, for the most part, people want to come to America.
Right.
And there's
they're
a reason
coming
for that.
To America. Is that Neil Diamond?
So I think we've got a better operating country than a lot of people are giving it credit for. If you look at America next to other countries.
That's what we're down to now. We got to compare. We have to compare America to Lower Nambia.
Well, we don't, and I think we should. And you'll get a better picture of the way this experiment is working.
I don't think the subjugation of other countries and the result of centuries of that can now be drawn in as data for this. Do you know what I mean? How are you going to judge? How would you judge? Uruguay, would you in a vacuum? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
our tentacles go far and wide. the tentacles of the seven sisters, you know.
Oh man, yes. And oh, there's not to, I'm not saying that we haven't made lots of mistakes. I mean, look at, get yourself a good history of the CIA and, you know, you'll see a lot.
You don't even need to go covert. You could just, you could look at just energy. You could look at energy only, you know. And something's done, sure. Something's done by the sword, something's done by the pen, something's done, you know, as invasions, right. some done as business deals. But at the end of the day, you know, there's countries that benefit and then there's countries that don't. And, you know, so I can't look at all these countries now and, you know, how do I judge Nambia? Do you know what I mean?
And I'm certainly not asking you to do that. I'm saying America next to everything else that's going on in the world. And then, so we're also at a point where there are some authoritarians that are flexing their muscles. China, North Korea, and of course, Russia. And it seems like they're lining up against the West. So the West kind of needs to get its house in order against that very real threat of the end of democracy.
For Pete's sake. which we don't have, right? It's a representative republic, or what do they call it? It's a
the West generally has a reliable democracy. The
12th best.
Yeah, just kidding. The other guys don't. They don't even try to pretend to be democracies.
You know, this horror that capitalism has wrought. I mean, you know, does democracy work? I mean, I'm saying in the sense of, can you have capitalism, free reign capitalism, and then also democratic governments?
Yeah.
Can those things coexist?
Okay, the fight against the wealthy is and always has been a tough fight because they've got so many levers they can pull to control things and subvert your ability to do things, to do, you know, to live the life that you want. So it's a tough fight and always has been. But it was a successful one in 1776. It got subverted pretty quickly. However, at that point, and because of the Constitution, they had at least pay lip service and they could only go so far. And that's basically what we've had.
Well, the X factor in all that, I agree with you, but the X factor in all that is, of course, natural resources. You know, and the health of the planet. And certainly when we're just starting out, we can have an industrial revolution. It's you know, the planet can take it. Once we start having the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one, now we got to have an issue. And the reason why we had them staggered like that is because we weren't all together, right? There was never a one world, you know, unity like that. Like, you know, all the countries planning everything.
Oh, well, kind of right. I mean, yeah, that's the next thing we have to work on is one world government.
Well, unfortunately, one world government for us is going to come about as a result of, you know, massive devastation from climate change. That's how it looks like that's playing out. Like countries getting ruined and having to be absorbed by other countries.
Well, okay.
I mean, this is happening. This is in the process of happening. We have a major hurricane occurring about every 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Exactly what Al Gore said, only worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the predictions are happening sooner and harder.
Much faster, right.
Yeah.
So at some point, when, for example, when Florida's being hit by an F4, F5 hurricane every single month, when that starts happening... You know,
Well, I mean, that's what's driving it, though. The oceans have heated up faster than they thought they would. And that's what makes large storms, is a heated ocean.
Right. I mean, we need a volcano. And so that's where we're at. And that can fix this at this point.
So that is the existential threat that affects the political situation.
But still, to this day, to this day, though, it is still money, energy, movement of money. It's still the same. The main concerns are still the same. Despite the fact that climate change is an issue, the first and foremost, it's the money, the deals, and so that's all the same still.
And the evidence of that is these, fossil fuel control efforts on the part of countries have really gone nowhere.
Well, we're still too separated, and again, every country has their own corruption. Every country has their own corporations that are ruling everything.
That's for sure.
So it's all these different corruptive systems.
So again, it's the levers that the wealthy control are pretty tough.
I don't think the really wealthy have thought it through. They're thinking when everything falls apart, I'm going to go to an island. They haven't thought.
No, they're thinking about their own bottom line.
But they haven't thought two or three steps beyond that. Like, well, then what? And then what? You know?
Yeah, it's that's not going to help your bottom line.
No, that doesn't. That's not good for the shareholder value. No.
Right? You know, think about it. Two steps beyond, you know, the next quarter.
So I don't know if we've reached. I don't know if we've reached the point where the existential threat of climate change is enough to. We certainly haven't reached that point where it's enough to motivate us to do something as a group.
I hear politicians, and they're all Democrats, speak about it a little bit more than they used to. Certainly Biden, Gavin Newsom's all in on it. A lawsuit against the five top oil companies. Gavin Newsom.
It's a tough thing, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's too far along for money to motivate it back. You know, make it profitable for them to fix it, kind of thing. Figure that out legislatively.
Well, I think there's some rich people that are on board that are looking past, you know, the next quarter, and Warren Buffett seems to be one of them, and for instance. Paul Newman salad dressing.
Terrific salad dressing.
Right?
Love the Caesar. Love the raspberry vinaigrette.
And donated to leftist causes. So,
of course, it's easy to make your own salad dressing, but if you don't want to, Newman's Own is a fantastic choice.
Right.
I do like the vinaigrette one. So.
But you're right. You make your own to suit your taste. A little, a little red wine vinegar, a little moutarde, salt, pepper.
What did you just call me?
Well, isn't that the French for mustard, moutarde?
So, the sadness of this show really is the fact that, it's a drawn out process, politics. And, even though things seem radical and ever changing and very fast moving, it still sort of trudges along. And, it's always bad, It's like the phone is a flashlight that delivers bad news. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay. So to some degrees, it was ever thus. I mean, I'm reading, I'm taking a look at the Robert Barrons right now. I'm reading Ron Chernow's, bio on Rockefeller, Titan, it's called. And so those people did really want it all, and they had it all because, the Industrial Revolution was in the process of giving them fantastic wealth, unprecedented wealth. And they used it, to control government.
Do you read the Jay Gould one?
I haven't. I mean, 18th century was my thing, but I'm looking at, the late 19th century now a little more closely. So I haven't looked at some of that. I've looked at some of the labor movement stuff, the Wobblies. And so it was ever thus. They had a lot more power than they have right now.
Right.
the robber barons. However, the wealthy right now have a greater percentage of U.S. wealth than even the robber barons did. I mean, Elon Musk was able to subvert a major military movement by Ukraine by denying them use of his satellites, the Starlink system. That one guy should have that kind of power is wrong, morally wrong.
Right. But it is the promise of capitalism, is it not?
It is.
Capitalism promises you that person. Promises.
So that kind of,
it's capitalism. Monopoly's a lot of fun for 20 minutes. The Monopoly game is a lot of fun for 20 minutes.
Sure,
and everybody's playing.
Sure.
There's no better 20 minutes in gaming than the first 20 minutes of Monopoly. And then it kind of falls apart after that. You know, and the reason why is because one person has all the money and all the property.
Yeah. And it gets to that point kind of quickly.
It gets there. And now you can do hedges, right? And one of the hedges is credit, right? Because that's what's missing from the Monopoly game. You can't borrow from the bank. So one way you can draw it out is by letting people borrow money for the deficit.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly it. And that's the major failure of the game Monopoly, because we are in a credit system.
Well, it's the float.
Not a money
system.
It's
the float that keeps the game going. And the reason I think it wouldn't work in Monopoly is because you know how far behind you are still, even if you'd borrowed the money. Because you're really keyed into the numbers. You know, part of the scam of modern society is you believe that the credit is your money, like what you're borrowing, you treat it like it's yours, mentally. I'm saying it doesn't feel like a loan. It keeps it going.
Sure,
it keeps it going. You have to be able to prop it up. So bankruptcy, right? Then there's a limit to credit, right? So then that's bankruptcy, right? They let you start over.
Right. So capitalism doesn't work without credit.
It doesn't work. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it works, period.
Anyway.
It seems like it just creates holes that people can't get out of. And one person has everything. I mean, it comes down to, at the very end, it's one person, one army, one, you know what I mean? It's one ruling whatever. And their last name might be Musk Bezos.
Sure. And I mean, the reason for that is, left unregulated, money devolves to fewer and fewer hands. It's just the nature of the beast. The big ones eat the little ones.
It's the function of capitalism.
So that's why it must be tightly regulated. When it's regulated well enough, money I'm talking about, well, then democracy can work. Where, you know, people have real power over their own lives.
Well, I mean, the only thing you can really do is let it run unfettered and then tax the shit out of it.
Well, that's one of the controls.
I mean, that's a control.
You've got to have some sort of mechanism that funnels the money going to the top back down to the bottom. I mean, the whole thing works better. More people can put food on their children and
have their dreams president. Take wing.
Right. Right. And so I basically want there to be more entrepreneurialism, not less. And there is less when the rich people draw the ladder up behind them. And that's what they do. They don't want more competition. They want less. And that's what they do. They attack it.
So be good, so, for goodness sake. Whoa.
Well, you need the majority should say, hey, you can't do that.
Well, and, look, the one vote, the only vote that really counts that we have is the one that they can't take away from to keep their system going. And that's money, right? You vote with your dollars. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of them. they're still counting your vote.
So well, that's very true.
They are meticulously counting that vote and projecting that vote into the future and banking on, they're making moves, money moves, based on what they think you're going to do with your dollar a year from now, 2 years from now. It's the only vote they're counting, and they're really counting it.
Well, and the hedge on that bet that they do is part of pulling up that ladder behind them is to limit your choices. You can't go to a store that pays its employees all right and buys decent products. You have to go to Walmart because you're poor and you've got to save money wherever you can, and you got to go to the cheapest place.
Right.
And so that's just one of the mechanisms.
Be judicious with your dollars. I guess that's my advice. I mean, really, if you want to affect change in that kind of way, vote with some intention with your money.
Sure. Sure.
Encourage others to do the same.
Moral purchases.
I mean, just figure it out. Figure it out. Is this the best way to get eggs?
Right, but I don't know. Somehow that seems like that's asking too much of the general population. They know it.
Hey, look, if you know a company's poisoning you, you can at least not give them the money, right? I mean, there's some things you can do. You can't avoid putting gas in your car, so you'll always be contributing to the worst of it. You know what I mean? The oil companies are the worst of it, so,
Well, that's a pretty good example. We could have had electric cars decades ago, but the oil companies didn't want it. I mean, city planning. The oil companies gave money so that urban sprawl happened and more people would need more cars. Just every aspect of life, particularly post World War II. Has been what's going to be good for the oil companies. And I know that I remember my father saying that what's good for General Motors is good for America.
Sure.
That was an act.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. And which was never true.
What's good for Wall Street is good for Main Street.
Yeah. Right, right. Right. And we can see how that was never true,
Maybe Marx was onto something. What'd he say? Capitalists are their own gravediggers, right? Eventually, the quest for profits renders it so that no one can buy the product. And you drive wages down, you drive prices up, eventually a gap is created.
Sure, and the reset often is
consumer confidence. Depression. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Consumer confidence is the economy.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. There is no economy other than the confidence of the consumer. How confident are you to spend the money that you're holding? That's it.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So now we're at a point where nobody can afford new cars, right? So,
I just read a book on the creation of the Federal Reserve System in 1913, and that's what people didn't get. They thought there needed to be a gold standard or a silver standard or money that's backed by actual stuff with value, and it was never that. It was always you take $10 from somebody for $10 worth of your stuff because you think you can go take that $10 and get $10 of stuff worth stuff for you from somebody else. That's why the money has value.
Yeah, it has to move. It has to move. The profit and the joy of everything comes from the movement of it. That's where the excess is created, and all the wonderful capitalist dreams is from the movement. So consumer confidence makes the action, right? And if you're not confident, if you are worried about the money that you're holding, and your prospects for replacing it are not so great, you're not gonna spend it. I mean, you're not gonna spend it in the same way. Everything's gonna stagnate, and that might get us electric cars in the end. once people just can stop buying cars altogether. I mean, they really lose the car companies. Because at some point, people are just going to be like, or whatever, I'm taking the bus, or I'll walk, or I'll get a bike. You know, people are going to be done with it.
Well, I don't know what's going to cause it. You know, that turnaround.
Pricing.
But I think we are moving. I think some people are recognizing that we need to be planning cities a little differently so that, you know, more people can get by without having a car. Public transportation is better, and you know, and city centers are not, you know, people can reasonably live close enough to their job that they can walk to it and that kind of stuff.
People in Europe, our European listeners, are like, yeah, you idiots. What? Yeah, man.
They kind of do it. Yeah, better than we do.
They do it a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. And aesthetically, I mean, look at any drive along just about any street in any city in America, and it's McDonald's and AutoZone and gas stations. This is really ugly
liquor store.
Soul-sucking landscapes, you know? Whereas in Europe, not so much.
Not so much. Even the retail centers are pleasant.
Right? So.
Well, you know, we're not going to solve all this today. Or ever. But.
Right. Today, you know, or ever, but maybe.
I think it's a very exciting time. I think people that are listening to this show and following the events in America, it's exciting. It's as exciting as it looks on TV, certainly.
Sure. More, really.
I don't think any of us really want a civil war. I don't think any of us are equipped to fight one.
I think I've seen indications that we're not getting that. I mean, they really expected a lot of people to be coming out when Trump was indicted in New York, and that was a bit that, you know, not really. Right. They didn't come out. So I think, so the Proud Boys and 3%ers were a really small percentage of the mob that descended upon the Capitol. They planned it, but they were a really small percentage of them.
They piggybacked. They took advantage of a situation.
And know? I think a lot of those people that took part in that, they're not going to be there the next time.
I mean, the question is, did they take advantage, and did Trump know that they were going to take advantage?
That's the trial, and that's the deal there.
So.
And he keeps giving the game away too. So.
Right.
Every time he opens his mouth. So I don't know. I think they got him.
Unbelievable. You know, I never would have expected any of this. Him running for president. Any of this. None of this was on my radar. Any of it. The indictments.
Yeah,
him going to prison. No. Did you ever expect to see a U.S. president in jail? A former U.S. president? Really?
No, not remotely. Did that seem like a likely scenario ever?
Ever. Like, not even as a fantasy to think about. It just seems ludicrous. And yet here we are.
One. Yeah. There's too much one hand washing the other. I think it's the right that always pushes too far.
I don't know.
And I really blame the right for pushing too far.
I think if we would have handled the 2000 election issue differently, I don't think any of this would have happened. Trump, none of it. Tea Party, none of it.
Well, if we'd let Florida do their count, and indications are that the votes that were, you know, being discovered were going for Gore.
Okay.
And so we would have got Gore as president. None of this would have happened.
Either way, none of this would have happened. If Gore had got the election, it wouldn't have happened. If if we had just not abused the right in that moment. I don't think any of this would have happened. It would have stayed civil.
Hard to say.
It's tough.
Hard to say.
Well, we got a lot.
We probably would have gotten earlier movement on global warming if Gore had been president.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
That was his big deal. So
it's hard to, you know, look, it's playing out the way it's playing out. So, you know, I at the end of the day, I just have to hope that in our hearts, there is a capitalist in each one of us and in all humans. And we all realize that destroying the market is not going to fix anything. So we figure out a way to survive that way, you know, by not destroying the planet, not destroying our way of life, everyone's. I think we could do that, and I think the reason why we would want to do that is because it's the most profitable thing to do, is to do it that way, right?
Yeah,
it's super expensive to rebuild the entire society from some calamity,
right? And I think that's why it'll be successful in the there's no single end point, but in general, democracy will be more successful than autocracy, because of it does better for more people, and which is, you know, why our fascists work against that, and that's what we are up against. But when government works better for more people, as democracy does better than autocracy, then more people will support it around the world. I think in any autocratic country, there's people that wish they had more power, that government was working better for them. And people definitely don't want to be told what to do. And in countries like that, they are told what to do. So I have a lot of faith in that people just don't want to be told what to do is good thing for democracy in general.
What did we learn today?
Well, we learned that vaping and hooting and hollering in a public theater can be an embarrassing situation.
That's true. if you've got satellites, you know, try to help out with them.
Well, or maybe you shouldn't have satellites if you're a single private individual.
Maybe a single person shouldn't have a bunch of satellites. You may be right about that.
Yeah.
We learned that Monopoly's fun for a while.
First 20 minutes.
Shout out to Parker Brothers. you've been listening to All You Fascists.
A special edition of All You Fascists.
Special edition. Holiday edition.
Fueled by French Press.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Before we sign out. Okay, so your whole life growing up, okay, I want you to clear your mind for this, okay?
Okay.
Your whole existence, what have you known Cinco de Mayo to be celebrating?
Well, Mexican independence.
That's it, period. You can put a period, right?
That's it. That's pretty much it. No deeper than that. Yeah.
So I agree, myself also, my whole life, and I grew up in a Mexican household. So, yeah.
So you'd think.
So.
You'd have a little more nuance.
Mexican independence, right?
Yeah.
It turns out, no.
No, right.
Not at all, actually. It's celebrating a single victory by the Mexican army over the French army at the city of Pueblo. That's Cinco de Mayo. Did you know when the actual Mexican Independence Day is? You ready for this?
Give it to me. I used to know.
Are you ready for this? It was Saturday. It was Saturday. It was last Saturday. I'm not kidding. James, I'm not kidding.
Oh, I right. That's a that is a really interesting event.
Okay, so this is a Mandela effect. I think we can all appreciate, right?
Totally that. Yeah.
I always knew that it was Mexican independence. Not only did I know that, that it was from Spain, independence from Spain. That's what I was. That's what I was brought up to believe.
And I don't know Cinco that I went that far with it, but yeah, that's basically what I thought. And then I had an idea that it was independence from France, and okay. I did get that part of the deal, but I didn't know that, you know, that really it's just
a single battle.
One battle. Yeah.
I mean, a consequential battle nonetheless, but one battle.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you believe that that's a Mandela? Is it possible that we all, every living person conflated that? Is that really possible? Is this group hypnosis, psychosis, a group misremembering?
I mean, that idea kind of got advanced really quickly and really superficially, and nobody questioned it.
Because this feels like a shift in reality. And when it happened, I was sitting next to my sister, right? She's older. And,
okay.
And the commercial came on talking about Mexican Independence Day, Saturday.
Right.
Mexican Independence Weekend. Have you ever heard that before? Ever? Okay. So these commercials come on and start talking about this. And she looks over and goes, what the hell is this? Like, what do you mean? It's tomorrow. It's Cinco de Mayo's Independence Day. And I'm like, I know. This is a man. This is what they call a Mandela effect. This is a reality. Reality is corrupted somehow. Got corrupted. You know, is the theory?
Is the Nelson Mandela effect? The Mandela effect.
People tending to misremembering things. You know, iconic things. Right.
And then getting that information passed on, and other people just accepting it.
Dude, come on, September 16th, James. Last Saturday, Mexican Independence Day, in the middle of September. Do you ever remember that in the middle of September?
Come on. Right, never.
Come on now. You have got to be kidding me. I don't think I'm losing. Am I losing my mind? Are you and I losing our minds?
Well, so my mother's birthday was September 16th, so that was always, you know, supplanted any other thing that might have been happened. So maybe that's my excuse.
You didn't notice all the Mexican flag cupcakes at the grocery store that week?
Yes. Well, of course. And I suppose I've had my tequila moment on you know, and green beer. Or is that something else?
I went into the Mexican grocery store last week, and on a banquet table set up in the middle of the store was all of these cupcakes and cakes and treats, and they all had the Mexican flag on them.
Oh.
And I looked at that table, and I had never, ever seen a table like that, ever, like that, in a grocery store. I had seen Mexican cupcakes before, in May, before Cinco de Mayo. Never in the middle of September.
Right.
This is weird. Am I off?
You're right. And it is the Mandela effect.
All right, I want you to ask around to people this week.
Good morning.
Before the next show.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. People you run into and see about the Cinco de Mayo. Test them on the Cinco de Mayo.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. That's
just really, really good casually morning. Ask them what Cinco de Mayo is and have them tell you. And then you know, show them on the phone. No. It's unreal. All right, that's enough.
I like it.
All right. Thank you, James.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank you to the listeners. And we're sorry we took so long between shows. And we're going to really try to do better.
Yeah, we are.
This is going to be fascist.